Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, it's Janine Vosper here, and welcome to this episode of the We Are Women podcast. Now, our next guest, Narelle Gatti, I met her at a networking meeting. Well, I didn't really meet her. First of all, I tripped over her gorgeous support dog, 15-eyed dog, Cassidy, and then we started our conversation after that. And I thought, what an amazing lady to be able to have as a guest on the podcast. Narelle is part of a group that educates people about accessibility and how to be digitally friendly. She really opened my eyes into how important this topic is. And I hope when you're listening to the podcast, it will open your eyes to it as well. Excuse the pun for there, Narelle. We are auditors, her business, they are auditors and they are business consultants and developers of microbehavioral neuroscientists, and they're linguists as well. A whole lot of talents. I am super excited to have her on the podcast today, and I would want to welcome you, Narelle.
Thanks, Janine. It is actually really exciting to be here because I've been listening to your podcast. So, yeah, I'm thrilled.
Yeah, it was such a fascinating topic when we met, because it was something that a person with sight does not think about, and it's not just sight. There's a whole lot of other disabilities that are really affected by.
Yeah.
Because at the moment we're recording the podcast so that you can listen to it, which is terrific for people who are able to do that. We're also doing it so it's a video, which then it doesn't really matter to you because you can listen to the podcast. But I don't do subtitles, which on the podcast, because they're just too long. But that would make a huge difference again for people who couldn't hear what we're saying, but they'd be able to read it. So it really did enlighten me to start thinking about how difficult things are. But when we don't have any of those disabilities, we don't recognise it and don't notice it. So this is such an important topic.
I was where you are now 15 years ago, Janine, and I didn't think about it. And like the work I did 15 years ago, I never thought about accessibility. I thought about efficiency and being effective and producing effective, because I was a computer programmer, so producing effective business solutions, but I never ever thought about accessibility. And I think if you'd told me 15, 20 years ago, say 20 years ago, that you would be blind, I would go, oh, you reckon?
Mm.
You know, you don't think about these things. And it's interesting the path that life puts you on, isn't it, really?
It certainly is. We don't know what's around the corner.
No, you don't. You really don't. And I'm actually meeting so many wonderful people and doing so many interesting things that I would never have done if I had functional sight. The people I meet are so inspiring. And I've met lots of able-bodied people, and I've met lots of people, you go, holy smokes, like opera singers. Yeah, well, how do they do it? But then you think about it, it's just normal.
Yeah.
It's not how we do it, is we all do things differently. We're all individuals.
And that's an important factor, and making allowances for it. I mean, we think about disability access. We're thinking about a ramp into a building.
Yes.
As opposed to necessarily online access to everything that's available for able-bodied people.
Yeah, it was really interesting actually during the COVID, because and a lot of my visually impaired friends said this, none of us have spatial awareness anymore. We can't tell you, you know, how we had to keep a certain distance from everyone.
Mm.
Well, we couldn't. So one friend of mine, his way to do it was he turned, walked round and round in circles. He said it
Goodness.
was the only way because he got sick of having people yell at him. Well,
Oh, my
he
goodness.
couldn't tell you how far he was from someone. He said, well, everyone kept clear of me while I was getting what I needed. I just kept walking in circles.
Goodness. Didn't
And
people realize that
no,
he was visually impaired?
they realized, but they never thought. So you can realize something, and it's like anything. You can notice, oh, they're out of bread, but it's that thought process behind it. And let's face it, I've got three adult sons, but when my sons were younger, it'd be, ah, we're out of bread. It was never the thought process, well, we're out of bread. We've got to go and buy more bread or make more bread. So people noticed, but they didn't see the thought process. And so one of the group I'm in actually produced an audio ad that basically said, well, we can't isolate, we cannot, what was the term that was used? We had to be a certain distance, whatever.
I hated the term social
Yeah,
distancing because
social
we were
distance.
physically distancing. We weren't social
Yeah,
distancing, we're
that's it.
physically distancing.
And so there was an ad produced that went around all over the place saying, well, we can't social distance because we don't know. That's right, 1.5 meters. We can't tell you that whether we're 1.5 meters from someone. And it was so interesting.
That is, I got a dirty look from someone the other day because I wasn't 1.5 meters from
Yeah.
somebody. And I thought, oh, I thought we were all done over with that now. But anyway,
Yeah, it is.
but at least I could respond to that because
Yeah.
I could recognize that the
Yeah.
person wasn't happy. And I just, moved out of that space just to accommodate that person's fears. But
Yeah, yeah.
you can't do that.
No, I mean, there was a few instances my husband actually was with me and he said to people, well, you need to move. If you want to be socially distant, you have to move. Narelle cannot tell how far she is from you. And that's a common thing, but it's with everything. People will notice something. However, the thought process behind it, they're distracted. They're thinking something else. They might be thinking about their shopping or what they've got to do later in the day. And they'll notice in that case, oh, they're not 1.5 meters from me, or social distance. But they're not thinking, oh, hang on, that person may not understand what 1.5 meters is. If you take someone with some multiple learning difficulties or some form of intellectual impairment, they might not understand what 1.5 meters is.
No, it's such a great point. I
Yeah.
know as a golfer, I tend to exaggerate my 1.5 meters.
Yes,
Oh,
we
that
won't
putt
go
was a
there.
3 meter putt I got in.
Oh, look, and it was awesome, and you got an eagle that day, didn't you?
Absolutely.
See? Exactly.
Yeah, that worked. Now, I know that you told me that you grew up on a property.
I
So
did.
how did your life change from growing up on a property to where you are and what you're doing now?
I grew up in a property in the 60s, 70s. So my parents are much older. My father was 40 years older than me. So I have an older father, very elderly grandparents. So my grandparents, all of them, if they're alive, they would be 120, 110, very much older than us. And so I come from that era and that generation where girls didn't stay on a cattle property. Now, my career of choice, I would have stayed on that cattle property forever. I love working with cattle. Strange, I'm no good on a horse, and we know now why. I was terrible at horse riding.
Again,
Oh,
that's so spatial, isn't it? Because
it is, but I couldn't see the ground. I remember one day the girth broke, and I was on this old horse called Princess, and I was just hugging the gate and yelling for Dad. And Dad's going, what the bloody hell, da da da. And I had to say, I don't know, Dad, but the saddle's moving because I didn't realize the girth broke. So
so
Dad got me
at
out of
that
it
age,
and walked me home.
were you what you'd class now as legally blind then, or was
No,
you didn't
no,
know?
no. I was very clumsy when I was young. So Mum put me in ballet. Mum says your clumsiness got a bit better, but you were terrible at ballet. Yeah, well, I hate ballet. But no, I was 9 when they finally realised there was something wrong. So we were out a couple of hours outside Rockhampton in the Dawson Calais coalfields, or what's called the Dawson Calais coalfields now, the Dawson Calais Valleys. And the nearest optometrist was at Rocky. I think there was one at Billawheeler. And I went to school this day and I failed an exam because at one stage, this is the exam used to be written on the blackboards showing our age. And all the good kids were sitting down the front. And I won't mention the name of the boys, but some boys played up. So the good ones got shifted down the back and the boys were put up the front. And I failed the exam and I thought it was normal, my level of sight. I really was sure it was normal. And
Because
so
you haven't
went
got a
home and
comparison at this 9-year-old either.
no, you don't know. And that's the same with hearing and any differences, a child or a person can't tell. And it doesn't matter who it is because that's your reality. So we went home and I've got a brother that's 12 months older than me. And I've got an extremely good memory. And I'll never forget because I got so much trouble for it. But my dad went and said, well, let's set up an eye chart. And we have a very long hall in the house I grew up in. So I'm standing behind dad. Dad's writing, the big letter E, the standard optometrical eye chart. And I was standing behind him, memorized a lot. So he sent my older brother up and said, oh, there you go, Stu, read her out. And Stu goes, yep, did it perfectly. I was sent up there. And of course, I've got a good memory. So I said, oh, yeah, Dad, da 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 da. And nothing bloody wrong with her eyes. And Mum said, she was looking over your shoulders. She m memorized the lot. So I got sent out of the room. They redid the eye chart. And of course, I failed straight away on everything. And Mum and Dad panicked because, I was 9. And as Dad said later, everything suddenly added up. Why I was clumsy, why I couldn't see the beast with the one horn or, that old bull over there, stay away from him, really, he's looking a bit cranky. Well, I didn't know they were there. I couldn't see them.
Goodness.
So
Even
now they
snakes, that's the first thing, sorry, that's popped into my head is being able to see snakes on those
well,
properties.
because we grew up with snakes, we never thought anything of it. You'd come into the kitchen and we had this old cat, Skitty, and Skitty would often catch snakes and break their back and leave them under the kitchen table for us to find. Number of times I've sprinted up the hall yelling, Dad, Dad, there's a snake under the kitchen again. And it was just our life. We never thought anything of it. But yeah, so I was 9 when it was diagnosed and I can't remember what level of sight I had. It was we used to laugh and call it when, the kids at school, the Coke bottle glasses, the very big, that's what I had.
Oh, that would have been done you well at school, wouldn't
Oh,
it?
my nickname wasn't, it was Granny. So my hair was extremely tight curls because it's in my family as well. And big, thick glasses. And I was no good at sport or anything. So I retreated into corner and read books and crocheted. I was a perfect candidate for the nickname of Granny. But to this day, it's interesting. My class, they could say what they like, but they would jump on anyone else if anyone else had a go at me. And it's still the same today. We're still a good lot of mates. And then when I was, so, I left, obviously, being a girl, couldn't stay on the cattle property. I went to Rocky and I was going to be a nurse. One of the things I think nurses need, which I'm not very good at, is empathy. So
I would have to say that that would be an important factor
I
in
think so.
nursing is that level of empathy. I've got a few friends that are either retired nurses
Yeah.
and if anyone puts their hand up for something, they're the first ones there to
Yeah.
be that supporting figure. So yes, I agree with you. Around empathy is important in
Yeah,
nursing.
exactly. After 18 months, we said, nah, this is not working. So I actually went off and went and did some office work, worked in QR on timesheets, and just did a lot of admin work for a while until I worked out what I wanted to do because obviously my career of choice, cattle farmer, not available to me. So I went and did IT. And before that, even I even did some governessing. So that was fantastic fun because I was right out outside, a couple of hours outside Blackall. Oh, best fun I had. It was brilliant. That was on a goat farm, mind you. So I was mustering goats and doing all types of things. So that was great fun. And then we went to, I went to what's called the CQU now. It was the University College of Central Queensland or whatever it was called back then. And I ended up down in Canberra working in the IT section of the ABS. And that's where I met my husband and got married and had a couple of kids. And then we came back to Brisbane. And when my kids were, the youngest was in late primary, the oldest was in high school, I started having accidents, car accidents. Too many. And I thought, this is ridiculous. Now, I'm a hoon, I will tell you that. Well, you're aware of it. You've heard it. I have a few speeding tickets because I love
I'm
cars.
trying to picture this now with Cassidy at the steering wheel, but anyway,
Yeah, apparently it's illegal. I've
it's
tried. I've done that a couple of times, stuck her in my sister's car, put her at the wheel, but my brother-in-law caught me and said, no, don't do that. I used to love shooting. I used to go shooting and I loved being outdoors and fast cars and I had good fun. And I kept falling over chairs in the job I was doing at the time. And I went to my optometrist, who's also one of my close friends. And actually, she was here for dinner the other night. She said that's the one appointment that still hurts her because she's having to ring my husband to say, Mark, you need to come here right now. And she's saying, at the end of all these tests, you are never to drive again. And she's crying, and I'm hugging her, saying, it's all right, Lisa, we can get around anything. It's okay. And I do have two autistic boys. So we've always taught the boys that just because you can't do it one way doesn't mean you can't do it another. And I will tell you, one of my boys is full on Asperger's. And I used to say, well, look at our cat, Timmy. There's more than one way to skin a cat. And I caught him one day holding the cat down, counting the ways. And this poor cat's howling. I'm sort of having to say, leave Tim alone. He's saying, but how many ways can you skin Tim? I'm thinking, oh my
Oh
gosh, shouldn't have done that. So I've, yeah. And yeah, so from that day, I never drove again. And I know.
And that's a big thing, isn't it? To have that sense
Oh.
of freedom to be able to do that. So then you then become reliant on somebody else forever, isn't
Oh, I thought I was going to be.
it?
However, my husband is in a quite full-on job. He's also in IT. We had two autistic sons and a normal son that all played cricket and football, and there was all those activities, and they all had to go on. And one of my very close friends and I had many a discussion about how the heck are we going to do this? And to an extent, yes, I did rely on others. We've had to move, and where we were living at the time was the most phenomenal place. It was out at Narangba, which is near Brisbane. And we had the pool, and I loved my garden, and have had a great group of friends that we had a great time together. And you just have to get on with life. I worked out pretty quickly that there's two things you can do. You can sit in a corner and cry, or you can laugh. Crying doesn't help anyone. It brings you down. It brings everyone around you down. So you've got to
It's a
laugh.
natural sort of go-to though, isn't it? And that's where picking yourself up and
Yes.
changing your response to it really is the only thing you have control over.
Yes, it was hard breaking it to our kids. But our kids were young enough that they said, well, what we've got to do? And the first response from my husband was, you leave anything on the floor and mum steps on it. So sad, too bad. So their laptops got moved off the floor very quickly. Didn't mean their rooms weren't atrocious. I used to go in with a broom and sweep it all into one corner so I could go and do what I had to do. Because I still kept cleaning, I still kept working. And I still kept learning. Breaking it to my father by this stage was dead. Breaking it to my mother and my brothers and sister, I think was the hardest thing, because my husband is very in, he can cope as long as he knows what it is. Obviously, it was a shock for my husband, because where I used to do the grocery shopping, he had to take it on. He had to drive the kids to their activities, or we had to organize other ways to get the kids to their activities. Our whole world changed basically in half an hour. My mum, I've got the most wonderful mother, the most wonderful sister, because my sister said, "Beauty, I get to choose your clothes." And I said, "No, you don't." And my mother said, "Oh, I'll take you to get your clothes." And I said, "No, you won't, mum. It's all good." My mum does
If you
like the
see, I'm thinking if
shirtwaist.
your sister had a sense of humor,
Oh, yeah, because
she
she
might
knows.
choose things that you
Yeah. Well, I
can't.
don't like pink. I never wear pink. And that's the first thing she said. "Oh, mum, Narelle's going to have a completely pink wardrobe." No, that's not going to happen. But yeah, my sister's been brilliant. If things go really bad, she flies down at the drop of a hat, and she works full time. She helps from, her and her husband have a quite a large cattle station, so she comes at the drop of a hat if need be. My older brother, absolutely brilliant, because I remember ringing him and telling him, and he hung up on me straight away. And mum at this stage was still living out at, oh, she'd retired into the nearby town where I grew up. There's no public transport to get to there. So suddenly I couldn't even get to my mum when she was sick. And he rang me back and said, "I've got it organized." And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Okay, when you need to go to mum," he said, "you fly to me and I'm driving you out there." He said, "That's done, organized." I said, "Oh, okay." And he said, "And I, I'm your backup, like, because don't forget, a lot of things came in on paper. I could still read paper at that stage,
Right,
but that
okay.
was going very quickly."
So that's an interesting point,
Yeah.
isn't it? That's it has to be digital now. It has to
Oh,
be
yeah.
audible, and it has to be audible.
It
Everything
has to be.
that
It has to
you
be accessible, which is what I'm
read.
passionate about. And there are ways to do it, and it is very simple techniques. So from there, I worked for many years, and I had to stop work because I couldn't do the job I was doing. And I also am very light sensitive. So if anyone comes to my unit on a bad day, it's completely dark. But doesn't, my husband and I have worked out a whole system, and it's fine.
And
But yeah,
that's the thing
everything
is,
comes on digital for me online.
and that's the thing is working out what's the best way to suit.
Yes.
So,
Yes.
whether it is a vision impairment or a hearing impairment or a physical disability, can't move around
Yes.
in wheelchair or Asperger's. Whatever
Yeah.
the disability is, it has to be that thought of how are we going to work this in the world today? I know I have
Yeah.
a severely autistic 5-year-old grandson who is
Oh, awesome.
non-ver yeah oh, did I say autistic?
Yes.
Non-verbal, and he's oh, there's other things there, I think we think as well. And one of the things he loves to do is take the balls off my Christmas tree. And he was living with us for 6 months. One stage it was over Christmas. Take all the balls off the Christmas tree and spin them around in his hand and then just drop them on the floor and go get another ball.
Oh, I fully understand that.
So we had a, and this year he then had a game the other day where he'd take the balls off, spin it around, give it to me, and I had to put it back on the tree. And if I didn't, and then he would drag me to the tree to put it back on, then he would take it off again and spin it. And we did that for about an hour, putting it back on. But this year I learned I've only got about a quarter of the balls on the tree. And that's what you have to do. It just changed the situation. It could be this is how I've always done it and I'm not changing anything.
Yep.
Or you just go, look, just make it easier for everybody. He can still spin the balls, do whatever he likes, and occasionally they'll break or whatever. But it's just make life simpler for
Yes.
everyone. Not picking up 400 Christmas balls, there might be 10.
Yeah.
It's
And this is it. My Asperger's son, one of the things I'll never forget, one year, I had, I do the ironing, and you put the clothes on the coat hanger and hang them up. I went to get the coat hangers, and I had none left. And I'm looking at the school uniform shirts and the, you know, just all the normal stuff, my husband's business shirts, my clothes. I thought, well, this is strange. And I got a bit frustrated and I remember yelling, where the hell are the coat hangers? There is coat hangers for everything. And my son popped his hand up and he said, oh, Mum, I can lend you some of mine if you like. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, oh, I've got plenty. And he said, what do you mean? And he'd taken every coat hanger in the house and hidden them behind his desk. They were his coat hangers, so he could get them whenever anyone needed a coat hanger. He had coat hangers. So he knew where they were. It was his control that he could help us.
Yeah. And it is about that control, isn't it? Having some sense of I can't control this, so what can I control? Now coming to in what you do now to help people with that accessibility through digital. I know you and I are working with two other women who are, you know, quite amazing online, and we've set up a, and I'm trying to think of Morning Tea Marketing Misses, we call it. And when we're working with you, I've noticed that, you know, you needing to, when you're reading something, you've got that, what did you call it?
I have a screen reader.
A screen reader.
Yep. Yeah. So basically it's a tool that reads the screen to me. And it translates what's on the screen into a language that it can understand, and then I just get it read to me. And I can control that screen reader to say, I only want to read that part of the page, or I want to read the whole page. It allows me to jump to another page. I can pick up the links. I know where the headings are. And there's a whole series of functionality behind that screen reader. And it's actually a Brisbane product, the one that I use.
Wow.
It was developed here in Brisbane by two blokes. Both of them are blind. And it's worldwide. It's used in 27 countries at the moment.
Fantastic. What's the name of it, just for people listening?
It's called, the nickname is NVDA. It's non-visual digital access.
Right. Okay.
And it's actually the most popular screen reader at the moment.
That's incredible.
Because it's free.
Wonderful to hear that it's also locally developed.
And they're a great bunch of blokes. I've had a meeting with the CEO. Just really nice blokes.
Yeah.
And very, very switched on. And there's another one called Job Access Without Speech. JAWS is the other nickname. And it was developed by a company called Freedom Scientific. I think that's American. Don't quote me on that one. And it's another really good one. However, it is licensed and it's very expensive.
Right.
Which is why the one I use is much more popular. But there are so many different tools. There are Braille keyboards. There are Braille sensors.
Mm-hmm.
So they convert the screen to Braille for people. There is, and you'll be aware of them, speech to text functionality.
Yes, one of my neighbours is deaf, and he works with helping people, the Deaf Society, have access to different things. And they, you know, for knocking on the door, well, it's got the dog there too. That helps the dog to go and tell him, but also having lights that flash so that he can know that there's aware that there's someone there. He's a very good lip reader, extremely good lip reader, and I've got very used to being able to enunciate things well enough, but also look at him and make sure I do that when he's But when we often have a neighbour thing with a few of us, and I notice in a group it's hard because he's got to keep turning from one person to see who's speaking to the next person to see who's speaking and figure out the gist of the conversation as well. But there's certain things. I know he's got something set up on his phone that when it rings through, it enables him to read it, what they're saying. So it's the opposite to what you're doing.
Yeah, but people also need to remember it can be very isolating.
Mm.
For me, and there's a lady on LinkedIn, and if anyone gets a chance to have a look at any of her posts, they are really, really good. Her name is Meryl Evans. She's deaf,
So
and she's
Meryl
very,
Evans.
yeah, Meryl, and then Evans, Evans. She lives over in the US, and she's very much an accessibility advocate as well. And she made a put a post up the other day about just how isolating it is to be deaf at a party, for exactly what you said. And then I said, well, I understand that. I do park run with a group of people, and there's a few.
Oh, Cassidy, how does he go? Because he's
Oh, she loves it.
she's
It's her
tired
game.
now.
She loves it. I motivate her with half a banana, and then we do brilliant times.
Oh, awesome.
But we had like the Christmas party, and there was three of us sitting down one end, and we did have a couple of our guides with us, but our guides went off, and they're great. They will go get us our cuppas because we're in a situation where we can't do that. And Cheryl said, this is isolating. We could hear what the others were saying down the other end of the table. We couldn't get to them. We couldn't participate. We didn't know who they were.
That's
They
a
were
really
speaking.
interesting point. And thinking about that, yeah, I'm a big fan of not just even isolating anybody. So if we're in a long table of people who don't know each other, I have a little thing where every third person moves on,
Oh,
and
that's good.
yeah, it works out really well, because then everyone's had a conversation mostly with most people, and move it around. But it does make a big difference, because even sometimes, and it may not be that a person, has some form of a disability or something. They just might not fit in. They just might not feel comfortable. They might not know the crowd. So, but it
Or be,
even more so when you can't see what's going on, or you can't hear what's going on, or you don't have the mobility to participate.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine mobility? That would be a hard one. If you're in a wheelchair and there's lots of obstacles in the way to get to another part of the room, you've got no way to move the obstacle. So you just sit. I mean, people that are severely, like, have anxiety issues as well, or people that are extremely shy, they actually benefit by having someone coming over and say, hey, I'm Joe, how are you? And just starting up a conversation. Because if someone else can start that conversation, those people can respond. There are some, obviously, that are too scared or anxious to respond,
May not be in the situation either.
may not be in the situation, but those that having someone else take that first step makes a big difference.
So what we're talking about really, Narelle, is communication, isn't it?
Oh,
Accessibility to be able
yes.
to communicate with other people, and to do it in a way that everybody can understand that form
Yes.
of communication with somebody else.
Yes. It is exactly that. It is considering the other person's communication needs. It is, say my mother. My mother is not a person that has a computer. She struggles with the mobile phone.
Sounds like my husband just saying, turn this on. How do I turn this on? Doesn't turn on.
If you give mum some paperwork, say from Veterans Affairs, she's liable to get lost because it's like they've thrown every piece of information onto one page. It's information overload. However, my mother is a very smart woman. She's run cattle properties and done all types of things. Just, she's 82. She's a paper-based, and keep it simple.
And that's, oh, again, we're sort of opening up so many different components of this ability for everybody to understand what's being communicated to them, and to be able to respond in a way that they feel like they're respected, and they're considered, and they can participate
And
as
that's
a
it.
yeah.
It is. We all want to be part of society. We all want to be part of the community, and we can all contribute. We can. It's there is no limitation to what we contribute other than the limitations that we put on ourselves, which is a big one, and the limitations communication-wise that others put on us. And that's the other big one. Accessibility actually has four principles. So there's perceivability, what you see. There is operability, how you see it. There is understandability, and that's exactly it, understanding. And there's robust. In other words, that it can be looked at on a mobile phone, on a laptop, printed out, on a tablet, voice. The same information is accessible no matter what. And if those four principles are met, imagine what our society would be like where everyone can contribute.
And that's the thing, is everyone being able to contribute. And so your work takes you into workplaces, because
Yes.
there is a standard, isn't there?
Oh, yeah, there is. And there's an Australian standard, and it's actually based on a global standard. There's a company called the Worldwide Consortium, W3C for short, and that was set up by the bloke that invented the internet, Tim Berners-Lee. By the way, his goal was information accessible for everyone, which fantastic goal. And they've set up a set of guidelines or standards for digital friendly computers, for websites, for documents, PDF, Word. The guidelines are there. This is governed in Australia by Standards Australia. So it's the same company that does your, well, it's a government organisation that does your building standards, your food and health and safety standards, all the standards that we in the community use. They govern the digital accessibility standards. And that is backed up by, and this is what people don't realise, the Disability Discrimination Act 1992. And it's all linked together. Now, I'm not in the habit, and I hate it when people say you must do this because it's legislation. That's wrong. How about instead of that, let's just open up the whole community so everyone can participate.
Yes. And so when you go into businesses, what, and again, you mentioned, so readability, and you've got the
Understandability.
software to be able to do that.
Yes.
But it's, so if they might not be employing people with visually impaired,
Yes.
because there isn't that accessibility
Yep.
to being able to read
Yep.
documents, and it's a paper-based organization, then that makes it really difficult. Plus, you have to look at an expensive exercise for businesses to do that as well.
Do you know every computer that you have has an accessibility functionality on it?
No, I did not.
Every one of them does. Every one of them, there's a Windows narrator. There is contrast. So, for people that have contrast problems, there is the ability to change the contrast around. There's the ability to change the way the mouse works and also the look of the mouse. There's magnification. There is, you can change the size of the icons. Every computer that uses Windows or the Mac has it.
Wow,
Every
okay.
phone has it.
Right.
iPhone have just released, I think it's 16.2 of the iOS, and there's even functionality in there now that will recognize if the doorbell rings to alert someone that's deaf.
Right.
Or
Yeah.
if I'm trying to walk through a door, it will find the edges of the door for me so I don't bump into the door. I've got a Cassidy. I don't have that problem, but there are people that do have that issue. All the phones, Android and iPhones, come with that accessibility.
Wow. And who
The
knows where
only
they go in the future?
oh, Do you know these standards are looking at virtual reality right now?
I was going to bring that up because
They
I
are,
remember watching something, and I'm saying 10, 15 years ago, where they were able to implant something for somebody, and they were able to walk around New York with a virtual reality space and participate in, and without any guidance whatsoever. It was amazing. And that was quite a long time ago. So I'm imagining that there's things that would probably be ready for market very soon.
There will be things coming. In my case, there's nothing they can do because my optic nerve is collapsing. So the moment you don't have the optic nerve, you don't have a retina, which is all nerves, you know.
Right.
But I'm not worried. I'm having the best life.
Yeah.
You know, I've got to make my plum pudding tomorrow for Christmas. And I'm very good at adding the alcohol. I'm great at measurement. Not, but no one cares. But the tools are there.
Yeah.
All business needs to do, and there's two ways. You can do this as an expensive exercise, yes. Or you can do it in the cost-effective way. I'm not about adding extra expense to a business, particularly in the economy the way it is now. You know, it's only my particular belief, but I sort of think at times we could be heading into another recession. I could be wrong, but with interest rates continually rising, then, you know, people don't have the money they had.
No, but they wanted, I'm sure there's so many business owners that want to be able to assist, that have got the great intentions.
Yeah, and they
the
can.
Thing.
Yeah, they can. There are two ways to do this. As I said, the very expensive way, which just throw everything at it and do it. Or my preferred method is little chunk at a time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're going to update the website, learn what you need to do and then just update as you go. If you're going to change an image, add alternate text. And we can teach you how to add the alternate text. Well, suddenly you're meeting one of the criteria that all non-text content has alternate text.
And that way people can – so is that where you – just on that, is that where you upload a photo and it says alternate text?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. So if anyone puts anything on Facebook now, you can actually – or an image – you can actually add alternate text. And I encourage everyone to. Like I have
I've never done that on any of the photos on my website.
Well, I found out today I am his name is Hendrix. Gosh knows why my great nephew has a son called Hendrix, but I have a great great nephew called Hendrix, born last night.
Oh, wonderful.
And,
congratulations.
Oh, I'm so thrilled.
Yeah.
He's living up in Cairns. But for me to see the photos, my sister-in-law will ring me and my sister-in-law will give me a full-on description because she's actually the great-grandmother. However, she's not a computer person. So I'll get one of my nieces. She'll upload a photo and I'll say, Nikita, can you put some alternate text in? Nikita goes, fine, Auntie Rel. And I'll know. One of my nieces is getting married in April. And she said, oh, Auntie Rel, I'll sending you photos, but what am I going to do? And I said, alternate text.
Yeah.
So I'm on it.
A description of what people are looking at. That is so, that's so cool. I never knew what that was. I'm sure that there's other people out there that didn't know that either. So
And it's a simple thing.
Yeah.
And it can be also as simple as thinking about your language on the page. One of the big rules. Society today is very big about abbreviations. We have the UN and the whatever, NVDA, whatever the abbreviation is, the NRL. The first time you use the abbreviation on a page, so if it's the NRL, National Rugby League, write the full words. Don't assume that everyone knows what NRL stands for or QLD. Write Queensland and then put in brackets afterwards QLD. You only need to do it the once on the page.
Right. Okay.
And then it's explanatory.
Yeah. And that's such a simple thing to do. And there's so many things that we just wouldn't have thought of.
Yeah.
And I'm just being mindful of time. Again, this happens every podcast. I think on every single podcast I've got, I can't believe the time's gone so quickly and we've covered so much.
I can keep chatting for hours about this because I am so passionate about it.
Yeah. Oh, look, I don't blame you. I think the thing is for people to be, you know, I know I'm going to ask you for three takeaways, but it's for me, it's to be aware of how I'm going to communicate with people as to, you know, be able to do so in a way that they can feel respected and considered and that they can participate in the communication. I think that's my biggest takeaway, and recognizing how to do that.
Yeah. And that's it. I mean, the first thing is people just need to remember whenever you hear the word accessibility or digital accessibility, we're just talking communication. And we all need to communicate. It's part of being a human being.
Yes, definitely. And it is that being, not feeling isolated too, because communication is, and we've had a couple of years where a lot of people, there's, you know, the way things were managed, or once managed, handled, they included a lot of isolation, which is, it was tough anyway, so being able to communicate most effectively.
Yeah.
And, yeah, a couple other points that you had for the takeaway points as well.
Don't make assumptions. Whenever you talk to someone and they ask for you to provide information, ask how they would like the information provided. Some people prefer text, and it doesn't matter whether you're sighted, unsighted, anything. Everyone has a preferred communication method. So by asking what the preferred communication method is, you're going to tell them that they are important to you at that point in time. That you are considering their needs, and that you find the message or the information you want to impart to them is important enough that you are going to take the time to ensure that you communicate with them in their preferred method. So you can't make assumptions. It's a simple question. Oh, which way would you like that? Do you want a text? I can send an email. How would you prefer to get the information?
Yeah, very, very good point. For me, I'm definitely not a texter. So after about one, two texts back and forth, I just get on the phone and ring the person.
I'm the same.
It just makes it a lot simpler. And you get the right tone of voice in that case as well.
And that's it. And that is where face-to-face communication is so important. And I always get the giggles because when I'm doing, I laugh and call them like my blind walks. So because my sight is going so rapidly, I have to be able to, and this is what I've set for myself. It's one of my goals. I need to walk to the chemist and back safely. The number of people that see me, because I do live in a more populated area, the number of people that see me and say, no, 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 you're not safe. And say, yeah, I am actually.
Yeah.
I actually know exactly where I am. I know where I've got to walk, and if I need help, I will ask. I've just taken away the sight, and where you would use a street sign or a building, I use a sound.
Yes.
Oh, I can hear the traffic lights. Whoops, I can hear the door opening, and I have GPS in my ears that tells me maybe that's the post office. So I know where I am at all times, except in a very busy party, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
I was
the markings on the, you know, the pathways when you get to the lights,
oh,
those things.
Yep. I laugh and call them the trail, my blind dots, braille dots.
Yeah.
They have a full name and it's TGDSI. I can never remember what it stands for, Trans Guide something or other system.
Yeah.
And if the dots, so there's two types you'll ever see. One of the dots can tell us, oops, you're going to cross onto a driveway,
yes, yeah,
or a road, stop, be aware. And the long ones, the long lines that you see, they're directional. So that tells you this is where you follow the path. So if you're standing on that and someone's coming along with a guide with a cane, the long cane, they put the head of the cane on those lines and we can walk. So I can go into Queen Street Mall if I don't have my guide dog with me.
Right.
And just by putting my cane, if I know I've got to go to the Myer Centre, I get across from one side of Queen Street Mall to the other, find that trail, pop my cane off it, and off I go.
Yeah, it's brilliant, isn't it?
And my ears, my GPS will tell me where I am.
Yeah.
The problem I get is when people stand on it and stand and talk.
Yeah.
And I don't know until I go whack. And you think, oh, sorry.
Oops. Whoops.
And you say, oh, can you please shift? And of course, education, they're not aware of the purpose of it.
No.
But that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's to allow us to walk in a straight line.
Yeah. Look, even little things, you know, you sort of get up and have a glass of water in the middle of the night. You can hear when the glass is nearly full. I stick my finger in it as well just to make sure
Well,
that I haven't overflowed it.
we actually have a tool that we're much better than anyone else because we actually have a liquid level sensor and it beeps for me. So when I'm making my cuppa, I know when I've hit my hot water limit, put my milk in, and it just goes off like crazy.
Awesome. No,
It's
that's
no good when you're in a lot of people because you can't hear the beeps very well, but we have liquid level sensors that do that.
Yeah. Oh, look, you're doing it all the time.
Yeah.
It's everything, and that's the whole thing, isn't it? It's just being
Yeah.
aware of it. Narelle, I think this is absolutely fascinating subject, and I think it's something really worthwhile for people to investigate how they're communicating and what's happening in their world. How can businesses and people get in touch with you so that they can, you know, check out what they're doing and you can do some recommendations for them?
Okay, we've got a LinkedIn page called Digital Access Solutions and Assistive Technologies. We have a Facebook page with the same name. We also have a website that we've actually thrown every accessibility issue we can at it, and it's become our training tool, and we're using that as a training tool to update it into a website that meets all the criteria, and that's DASAT, DASAT, T for Tom, .com.au. So
Excellent.
when you look at it, it breaks every rule. If you want to see a really bad website with every accessibility error that I could plug in, go and have a look.
Fantastic.
And
Oh,
it's
that's
terrible.
good. I will definitely do that. The thank you so much for sharing that information and sharing your story. I think it's all of value in it. And I love your positive attitude to everything. And as you said, you know, you have to get on with life. You can either choose to do it. And even I just had this conversation with someone this morning, and she said, I'm Colombian, we're always in a good mood. And I said, well, it's better than being in a bad mood, isn't it? You know?
And it is. You know,
And dealing with
you achieve a lot more with a smile than a
it.
frown.
Absolutely.
And
Thank you
look,
so much for sharing that. I will put all your information in the show notes. So if anyone wants to get in touch with you, they can do that.
look, Janine, thank you for the opportunity because the more people we can educate about this, the better off we'll be as well. So thank
Absolutely.
you. Just
You are
thank
my
you so much.
most welcome. And that's another episode of the We Are Women podcast. I'm so glad that you were able to join us on this episode. I thank all of the people that subscribe and listen to each one of the episodes. As you can see, there's always high value and there's something that you can take away, apply in your life and in your business. Remember, go to janinevosper.com and book a strategy call. We can have a conversation about how I might be able to help you or how one of the amazing people that I come in contact with on a daily basis can do so. Have a fantastic day, night, week, wherever you are in the world, and enjoy. Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the five most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.